Welcome to a burning fire. Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. In the book of John in the New Testament, in the 12th chapter and the 20th verse, we read that there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. And the same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Now, I'm assuming that people today want to see Jesus, but whether they want to or not, brethren and friends, the greatest need in the world today is for people like me and for you, men and women, boys and girls, to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and to see Him for who He is and what He is to us. In Jesus' day, He often had conflict with those round about. He had debates with those who differed with him and challenged him in the things that he did. And in John chapter 8, Jesus had a great debate with the Jewish people, well, some of the Jewish leaders, that were very dependent upon their fleshly ancestry from Abraham as proof and as evidence of their acceptance by Jehovah God. In other words, just the very fact that they were Jewish people, that was enough, that was sufficient for them to think that I am acceptable before God. Well, Jesus sorely rebuked them for not acting like the children of Abraham. We read in John chapter 8, verse 39 and 40, Jesus said, If ye were the children of Abraham, you would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. In other words, they didn't behave like they were children of Abraham. If they wanted to be approved of God, and claiming simply to be children of Abraham, why didn't they conduct themselves like Abraham did? In verse 39 of that same chapter, Jesus said, If ye were of the children of Abraham, you would do the works of Abraham. Well, they didn't do that. And actually, in the 44th verse, he said, Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father which ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. No, rather than being approved of God, they were children of the devil. And he further stated, in fact, he startled them. In verse 56, he said, Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Well, that caused a reaction among the Jews that they just absolutely could not understand. Then said the Jews unto him, Thou art not yet 50 years old. Hast thou seen Abraham? And Jesus said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Now, in the lesson today, and probably the next lesson, and maybe even a third lesson, I want us to focus our attention upon what Jesus said here and use the phrase, I am. By using that phrase, Jesus is making a claim about himself, and his claim is clear. Yes, he was not yet 50 years old. He realized that, and the Jews did too. But he is simply saying he existed before Abraham. Now, Abraham had lived nearly 2,000 years earlier than this, but Jesus existed before Abraham. Now, what does he mean by making this kind of claim? These people didn't understand what he meant right at first. Well, it's a claim of deity, dear friend. It's an identification of himself with the phrase that God used when he talked to Moses, back when he called him from the burning bush. In the third chapter of the book of Exodus, we read how that God said to Moses, I am that I am. And Moses wanted to know what he would say to the people as to who sent him to lead Israel out of Egypt. And God told him, Thou shalt say thus to the children of Israel, I am sent thee unto you. Now this phrase, I am, is very significant because it emphasizes the deity of the one that was speaking to Moses, the eternal one, the self-existing one, the one that has always been. I am that I am. And Jesus significantly takes this phrase and he uses it to identify himself, that he existed before Abraham. He is simply showing, I too am deity. I existed from the beginning. Now that's what John wrote in the first chapter. He was with God. He was God. He was the Word, and that Word is identified as the Christ, the only begotten of God, in John 1 and verse 14. So by this claim, when he uses the phrase, I am, he asserts to have always existed. He is declaring something of his nature. He is the Divine One. Now, there are other times that Jesus used the phrase, I am, also. Now, this was the time that he used it to declare his eternal existence as the Divine One. But he uses it several other times in the days of his ministry and teaching. In fact, there were metaphors and allegories and comparisons, instances where he presents himself in terms and images, yes, figurative language to be sure. But in doing so, Jesus greatly simplifies himself. He makes himself, his nature, his mission, his relationship to the disciples, his relationship to the Father, clearer and more easily understood by all of us. And friends, this is that which we must see. Like those who came to Philip, we want to see Jesus, and we will see him as he expresses himself by the use of this phrase, I am. Well, we turn in our New Testament again to John the 6th chapter. And in John the 6th chapter, we read about the day after Jesus had performed that great miracle of feeding the 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Well, after he did that, the multitudes came to see him again and to be with him again. But unfortunately, not all of them came for the right purpose. They didn't come out of their belief and their adoration of Christ so much as they did because they wanted the loaves and fishes. In John 6 and verse 26, Jesus said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Well, you see, they had the same kind of attitude toward Christ that some people have toward coming to Christ today. They come hoping for some kind of material, earthly benefit. And that's because they've been taught that by false teachers. You hear over the television, sometimes a preacher will come on, you want a better car? Well, come to Jesus. You want a better house? Come to Jesus. You want a better job? Come to Jesus. Oh, my beloved, that's not why Christ died on the cross. Jesus is using this occasion to admonish people to get their priorities in order, to put first things first, and to seek the things of this physical nourishment was not the primary goal that he had in mind in feeding the 5,000. He taught them in John 6, verse 27, Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat which endureth to everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath the Father sealed. Now listen, dear friend, he recalls to them the time when Israel was sustained in the wilderness by manna that God had provided. But Jesus said, in taking note of that, and remembering that, and reminding them of that, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world." And they said, "Lord, give us this bread." And Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." Notice, Jesus said, "I am the bread of life." Now, what he is teaching us here is the same thing that's recorded in the 48th verse, "I am that bread. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and were dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. And if any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." Friend, Jesus said he was from heaven. He came from the Father. Over 40 times in the book of John, it is emphasized that the Father sent the Son. And he said he is the bread that imparts eternal life. Now, we have to have bread in order to sustain our physical life. That is, we have to have food. We have to have the proper nourishment. Well, to sustain the welfare of our soul, of our spirit, we have to have the right spiritual food. And what Jesus is saying here, "I am that physical food that you need. I am the He. I am the bread. I am the one upon whom you must feed and follow. I am the true bread. He's the living bread. He's the bread that provides eternal life for mankind." He said, "I am the bread of life." Cannot you see the significance of his use of this phrase, "I am"? He is showing to people, you must come to me. If you're going to obtain the blessings of God and have eternal life in heaven with him, I am the one upon whom you must feed. Now, of course, he's not saying you to eat his literal flesh, but he gave his literal flesh on the cross, and by he becomes that which was the spiritual nourishment for man to sustain the welfare of his spirit. And he can stand before God justified in this life. And when that day comes, when the Lord comes again, and we'll all be raised, and we'll all stand before God in judgment, all will be well with the soul of that individual who has appreciated the fact what Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the Father." Jesus is that word, friend. He's the bread of life. Well, this is about all we're going to be able to have time to talk about today on these phrases of "I am." There are several others that we're going to consider in the next lesson or the next two or three lessons, because Jesus is using it in a very significant fashion. But for today, we understand that he used the phrase "I am" to emphasize and to show his deity. He used the phrase "I am" when he said, "I am the bread of life," to show that he's the one upon whom we must feed to have our spiritual nourishment and our spiritual welfare, and indeed to enjoy eternal life. How grateful for the "I am"s of Jesus Christ. We appreciate you listening. Be listening for the other lessons about "I am." This is A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.